Welcome to Creating Wealth with Jason Hartman. During this program, Jason is going to tell you some really exciting things that you probably haven't thought of before, and a new slant on investing. Fresh new approaches to America's best investment that will enable you to create more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine, self-made multimillionaire who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. He's been a successful investor for 20 years and currently owns properties in 11 states and 17 cities. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to financial freedom. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and this is episode number 175. Wow, we're almost at 200 episodes. It amazes me when I think back. This show has been running for almost 5 years now, I believe, and that is a long time. And if you've been listening since the very beginning, as I know many of you have, thank you so much for being part of our subscriber family. And I want to make sure you have the opportunity to take advantage of our other shows. We've launched several shows. Some of them have been around for a while. Some are brand new, and you can find them all on iTunes by just going to the iTunes store and searching Jason Hartman, or at their individual websites as well. So the home of the Creating Wealth Show, this one, and the Financial Freedom Report, a new show, the Creating Wealth video podcast, and the Speed of Money podcast are all available at jasonhartman.com. Our number two show, which is gaining a huge audience as well, and we're very grateful for that, is the Holistic Survival Show, available at holisticsurvival.com. Our new show, The Jet Setter Show, is taking off nicely, and that's jetsettershow.com. The Young Wealth Show, published through my charitable foundation, the Jason Hartman Foundation, is available at youngwealth.com. And the Heroic Investing Show, which is geared toward first responders who would like to create a better retirement, more financial success, is at heroicinvesting.com. The Solomon Success Show, where we talk about biblical principles for business and investing from the richest man in the world, King Solomon, is at solomonsuccess.org. That's Solomon, and remember, that's S-O-L-O-M-O-N, success.org. not a .com. And then we have our newest show, the AIPIS show. That is for the trade, and that is for people who are real estate, mortgage, and financial professionals, and that is available at AIPIS.org. That's a .org, again, not a .com. And then the Speaking of Wealth show that is geared toward speakers, authors, and consultants who want to grow their business at speakingofwealth.com. So that one's a .com. So check all those out. They're all completely free, and we'd love to have you or anyone you know listening to all of those shows. And please refer the show to your friends. The more people who know how to create income and long-term wealth through our very favorite investment, income property, the better the world will be. So you're doing everybody a favor by referring them to the show and adding more people to the subscriber family. So in this show, we are not going to talk about income property as we did in the last show. Today, we're going to talk about internet marketing. And I just got back from Denver, where I spent my first couple of days in Denver, Colorado, at the AFCON 2010 conference, and that's the affiliate conference. And that was all about affiliate and internet marketing. And I had the pleasure of meeting our guest, where we will play the interview in just a moment at that show, and that is Tim Ash. And I did not know he was speaking there, but I was in the room, and there he is talking, and I'm thinking, boy, I just interviewed Tim on my show. Isn't that great? What a coincidence. And today we'll talk about landing page optimization, the definitive guide to testing and tuning for a high conversion rate for your website. Folks, everybody listening, whether you have a regular corporate job or not, you need to have a side business going, a plan B, a backup plan, and follow your dreams and grow your home-based business. And there's no better way to do it than through the internet. The opportunities out there for all of us are just unmatched nowadays. We've never had these opportunities in human history ever before as we do now. Speaking of which, and before we go to the interview with Tim, let me just talk about real estate for a moment. Today, Brittany at our office just sent me over an article showing that the mortgage rates are now at the lowest point in history. Can you imagine what an opportunity this is to acquire income properties at the lowest mortgage rates in history ever? the lowest mortgage rates. They have now dipped to the lowest point ever. I mean, think of the significance of that. They're 3-decade-long mortgages. Wow. On the last show, number 174, we talked about my ultimate investing equation. The opportunity is phenomenal. My last day in Denver, I took a big property tour and looked at a whole bunch of properties. I met with our local market specialist there, who you've heard on past shows before, Joe, and we looked around at a lot of properties. I met with another group out there who has some good REO and real estate-owned foreclosure opportunities in Denver, and spent the morning with them, the afternoon with Joe. We looked at a whole bunch of properties, and again, you can find these properties at jasonhartman.com/properties, so take advantage of that. Join us for our Creating Wealth event coming up on July 31st. And be sure you go check out all those new shows I mentioned just a moment ago. Now, let's go to the interview right after this with Tim Ash on landing page optimization.
What's great about the shows you'll find on HartmanMedia.com is that if you want to learn how to finance your next big real estate deal, there's a show for that. If you want to learn more about food storage and the best way to keep those onions from smelling up everything else, there's a show for that. If you honestly want to know more about business ethics, there's a show for that. And if you just want to get away from it all and need to know something about world travel, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from Jason Hartman and HartmanMedia.com. Or type Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
My pleasure to welcome Tim Ash to the show. He is an expert on landing page optimization. In fact, that is the title of his book, Landing Page Optimization, The Definitive Guide to Testing and Tuning for Conversions. So, Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason. My pleasure.
So, this is the holy grail of internet marketing. What you do, Tim, is something that everybody wants to know and everybody wants to do better. And it was interesting talking with you for just a moment before we started recording about heat maps. So, I can't wait to get into that part of this conversation. But tell us just generally what the book is about and what people need to know about optimizing their websites.
Most people basically focus too much on driving traffic because that's something that you can easily measure. Oh, look how many clicks I have. Look at how much it cost me. It's all very quantifiable. So we tend to, what gets measured gets done, and it's very easy to measure traffic. And conversion, or improving your landing page, is a much more tricky thing, and it has a lot of qualitative aspects to it, not just strictly measurable stuff. And so people shy away from it because it's a little bit harder to get your hands around. So it's been neglected, and actually that's where the money is. So it's a lot easier to improve your business by fixing your conversion rate than by driving more traffic.
That really makes sense, Tim, because it may cost you, say, a small business is spending $500 a month to drive traffic, or $1,000 a month to drive traffic, and they're doing that with PPC or SEO techniques or outside advertising. If the traffic comes and it doesn't buy and it doesn't convert, or you only get 1 out of 100 versus 80 out of 100, I mean, gosh, there is really a lot more room to increase profits, as you said, with getting the conversions from your pages, right?
Exactly right. And it seems obvious, but yeah, there seems to be almost some kind of block among business owners and online marketers to actually do anything about it.
It's really sort of the philosophy of throwing a lot of mud against the wall and hoping some will stick, whereas you want to see more of it stick. What are the 3 keys to online marketing?
And again, break it down. We've talked about a couple of them already. One would be driving traffic, right? How do you get traffic to your site? Another is converting it, or persuading people to act or to take the action that you want them to take. And the final one is kind of retention activities, or increasing the lifetime value of the relationship, farming, if you will, making sure that you extract as much value as you can over the long term. Usually that's done online via email marketing.
And you talk also in the book about the myth of perfect conversion. What does that mean?
Well, there's this notion out there in the world that, well, 100 people show up at my site and all of them should buy from me. That's never going to happen. That's living in some kind of fantasy world. So there's no such thing as 100% conversion rate, because some people will never buy from you because they're just not interested. They're tire kickers. They're competitors checking you out. Others will definitely buy from you. They think you're the cat's meow, or maybe the only possible source for products or services that fit their needs. And the rest of them are kind of in between. They're the maybes. And you can influence some of those maybes. And that's really what you should be focusing on.
A lot of people are really not understanding the differences in these words and some of the internet lingo. And your book is called Landing Page Optimization. Can you just give everybody a little bit of a lesson on website, landing page, home page, splash page, squeeze page? What are all of those things?
let's get you buzzword compliant.
Yeah, buzzword compliant.
Optimization was a term that was coined a few years ago, so I've decided to kind of go along with that naming convention in my book. But really, a landing page is just simply anywhere where traffic lands on your site on the way to hopefully completing an important conversion goal that you have for people. So in other words, a landing page can be your home page, it could be a product detail page, it could be a blog post, and then somewhere downstream of that, you have some action that you want people to take, fill out a form, download something, buy something, and so on. And so really the process of landing page optimization is improving the efficiency of that whole path between the point where they land on your site and where the important conversion happens.
And what is a squeeze page then?
Well, a squeeze page is usually a page where you're just trying to land traffic from a specific traffic source. Let's say you set up a pay-per-click campaign or you buy banner ads and you have a very targeted message that kind of frames the experience for them before they go on to the rest of your site.
What are the different types of landing pages?
There's a standalone landing page, and usually you use those for marketing campaigns where you can control the traffic source. So, for instance, you have a pay-per-click campaign on Google AdWords. Well, you decide exactly what page to send the traffic to. So it can be very targeted, but it doesn't even have to be part of your site. It could be just kind of a catcher's mitt, if you will, that's out there to catch and effectively convert that traffic. Or you can have a microsite, which is a small site that's specifically, again, designed maybe around a campaign or a special promotion. It might require more information than a single page, so you have several supporting pages of information, too. Or it could be just a page somewhere on your main site. And then the difference there, typically, with your kind of main website is that you have all of the navigation and menu bars and everything else that you're dragging around, and every page has that shell around it.
Let's get into this whole thing about understanding your audience and the key ingredient. What is the real key ingredient to understanding your audience and just getting sort of that relationship with them, if you will?
Well, I think it's really having a sense of empathy. I mean, the tough thing about online marketing, when we meet somebody in the real world, we know something about them. We know what they're wearing, whether they shaved and showered that day, how they present themselves, how they hold their face, how they speak. All of that is really important information that we kind of commonly assume we have access to. But on the web, that's not true. People are showing up.
They're invisible.
They're invisible. You don't know who they are. They could be from anywhere in the world. You can assume nothing about them. So as marketers, it's really hard for us to even envision them or imagine them or to have a sense of empathy, really.
So what do we do to solve that problem?
Well, instead of guessing at what they want, which is what most of us end up doing, the best thing to do is actually ask them. The beauty of landing page optimization and testing is that you can have your visitors vote. If you have large numbers of people showing up, you can show them two different versions of the page, and you're in effect asking which one of these works better for you. They're not lying to you. They're not going to. They don't even know that a test is going on. They see one page or the other, and if more of them react to one, then you know that's the winner, and they prefer it.
Yeah, so that would be also known as A/B testing, right?
Exactly. That's called A/B or split testing.
Split testing, yeah.
Randomly split your traffic when a new person shows up, you decide which version of the page to show them.
And then you just sort of tabulate the results and see which one works better.
Yeah.
When you look at segmentation and demographics and web analytics and different traffic sources, I mean, what do you need to know there? It seems so easy for people to just go on and buy Google AdWords campaigns. And the reality is people have spent fortunes on that and it hasn't worked very well for a lot of people. What do they need to know to do this right?
One thing to understand is that segmentation only matters if you have pretty decent amount of traffic coming to your page. I mean, you can slice and dice it any way you like, but if you had four people show up and one of them bought, you can't really say, well, one quarter of the people coming to my site are going to buy from me. Well, that's not true. It could be just a little statistical fluke.
The sample is too small, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So basically, you know, the web analytics is really helpful for companies that have, you know, thousands of people a day or more showing up to their sites. And then you can draw some interesting conclusions by looking at the data. But the big takeaway usually is that, hey, guess what? People from different traffic sources behave very differently. People from different countries or at different times of day or different days a week will behave differently. So if you start noticing those patterns, you can adjust your marketing accordingly.
When it comes to behavioral styles, I mean, I don't think I have ever opened up a book about search engine marketing, internet marketing in general, or landing page optimization for that matter, that talks about the good old Myers-Briggs and the Kiersey-Bates. And I had Tony Alessandro on a prior show talking about the Platinum Rule.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah. Well, he's right there. You're in San Diego, right? So he's there too. And everybody always seems to take this stuff from a much more sort of technical or analytical perspective. But here you're getting in that softer area of behavioral styles.
Yeah, and I think that this is underappreciated. I think that because the internet truly is revolutionary on some level, and we're looking at something probably more fundamental than the creation of the printing press 500 or so years ago, we think that everything is all of a sudden new, and that internet marketing is just a completely different beast. And we have all these tools and tricks, and Twitter this, and Facebook that, And at the end of the day, we're trying to sell to people and influence people. So human psychology hasn't changed at all. People have been working on this stuff for thousands of years. So to ignore all of the persuasion strategies and the work of psychologists and social scientists is really kind of trying to dig your way out from a very deep well. I'd rather stand on the shoulders of those folks and apply that to internet marketing.
Well, how do you apply it? I mean, I would agree. That makes sense. Everything you're saying makes sense.
Well, for example, one thing we know about different people experience the world differently depending on kind of the cognitive style or brain style they have. Some of us are very methodical. Others, like me, are very ADD, you could say, attention deficit disorder, can't focus for very long. So when we're on a web page, they've actually done studies where people will examine the page very differently. The quick attention person will skim around and look for things to click on. The methodical person will actually look at every single item on the page and go through them until they understand all of their choices. And this just kind of goes to show you that you have to accommodate both of those cognitive styles, if you will. So you have to have the quick payoff for the hunter and the very detailed information for the farmer.
And so when you create your landing page, what do you do to do that? You just put the order here buttons all the way down, so that's for the quick payoff person, and then you put a lot of information and details around it?
Well, you can't really do both, because the quick payoff person would get bored with all if you just tried to have a page full of detailed text. But there's certainly nothing wrong with putting in more details or see testimonials or other information as links off of your page. The methodical people will find them, and then they'll go and look at that supporting information, and it doesn't really get in the way of the fast-paced person. But it's being aware that, Tony Alessandro has what he calls the Platinum Rule, which is do unto others as they would have done unto themselves. Yeah. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically, you can't assume that everybody's like you. You have to understand where they're coming from and give it to them in the format that they need. The same thing kind of applies to text versus video on a site. Some of us are much more visually oriented or graphics. So you have to give it to me in just the right package and the right sensory modality
of what you want. So can you give us any more examples on that? Because that's really interesting that an internet marketer is thinking of that in what's considered to be a rather analytical field.
Well, for example, a lot of what we've seen work with lead generation pages is the use, and we have this as a service of testing those, video spokespeople, little people that walk on either full height or kind of waist up from the corner of the screen, say a few things, and that usually helps orient somebody or make them feel at home or give them that human touch. If you're being asked for very personal information, for example, when filling out a form, you might be more at ease if you, in effect, had a little mini interaction with a person in front of that. So, again, if you're looking for selling some kind of circuit board design testing equipment to some very geeky engineers, you better have the detailed spec sheets in writing so that they can download them and look at them. So whatever is appropriate, you have to understand the psychology of the people showing up.
What do people need to know about the way online buyers decide to buy things, their process of making decisions?
Well, again, there's nothing new under the sun. Over 100 years ago, someone came up with the notion of the sales funnel. We're all probably familiar with it.
Sure.
And there's an acronym called ADA to describe it, which stands for Awareness, Interest, Desire, and action. And everybody basically goes through those four steps or stages on the way to transacting or making some kind of purchase decision or a buying decision. So, again, the question is, how do you translate that into the Internet? How do you capture someone's awareness and have them self-select and indicate an interest and then build a higher level of desire and then have the kind of frictionless transaction at the end so they can take action? So it's just fine-tuning all that, but the framework of walking them step-by-step through that should be in place. You can't expect them to jump across the chasm. You have to build a little bridge for them.
And when you're building that bridge to make it easier for that buyer, should you be using these sort of obnoxious pop-ups that everybody seems to hate? Sometimes they're only on exit, sometimes they're on entry, banner ads. What do you think?
One thing that we know from kind of the human visual system, what we pay attention to, is that motion is very powerful. We have basically two visual systems, a kind of very small little spot in the middle of our visual field where we can see fine detail and we aim that at whatever we want to look at. And the other is this very wide field of view, and all it's there for is detecting motion. They're equally important things. One would be to say, look at a berry, make sure it's just the right color so we don't die of poisoning. And another one would be, if a saber-toothed tiger is jumping at me, I better know about it even if it's out of the corner of my eye. So the latter one is more immediate and more important. Rocks don't jump out at you, saber-toothed tigers do. So anytime you use vision, or rather motion on a page, it will have a very powerful effect of drawing attention. And this could be as simple as a flash animation on your site or a video player that starts auto-playing or, like I said, a video spokesperson that walks up out on top of the page. But you have to be very careful with that stuff and test it and make sure it doesn't have the effect of distracting from your call to action.
So with the video that starts playing automatically or any sort of motion, my big question there is yes or no on sound, because sometimes you hit a web page and the sound goes on and your speakers are up too loud and you didn't know it. And it's really sort of a surprising and annoying sometimes. But do you think we should have sound? Or?
Well, this is one of those things that kind of goes into the realm of you should test that. Have the traffic. I mean, there's a lot of things I can't definitively answer. I can give you guides and best practices, but personally I find that kind of audio on very annoying as well. But there's certain applications, if you'll pardon me, dumb consumer products that are $19.99, buy it right away, where that in-your-face approach is very effective. So it really depends, again, on your audience, and you should test it on them.
Stay tuned. We'll be back in less than 60 seconds.
Jason provides an extremely unique service, Deal Evaluator. Are you interested in a property outside of our network? Need a second opinion? No problem. Let our experts evaluate the deal. Find out more about it at jasonhartman.com.
Here's sort of the problem. I mean, nobody could disagree with you on this whole testing mantra, but how much traffic do you really need to test? Do you need a survey of 500 or 1,000 visitors to see how they act with split tests? And then what if the two split tests really aren't enough? What if you really need four tests or six tests? I mean, there's an unlimited number of ways you can vary things.
Yeah, that's true. So I think that as a rough guideline, what we recommend is that you have at least 10 conversion actions a day running through your site from reliable traffic sources. So it can't be an email drop where it's there one day and then gone the next. It can't be spiky traffic. But if you have repeatable traffic, either people are typing in your domain name or the pay-per-click or search engine optimization, that's good stuff. But 10 conversion actions a day, and a conversion action doesn't have to be a sale. It could be a download or a form fill or even just a click-through to another more important page deeper in your site. As long as you have 10 a day, you could do basic split testing in a reasonable time frame, by which I mean maybe a few weeks.
So you've got to get your traffic up to where, if you've got a brand new site, you've got to have some traffic before you can test anything. And then you engage in testing, then you find what works, and you stick with what works. Anything more on the decision process?
Well, I think that also testing can answer certain questions. I don't know which headline your audience would prefer. It depends on their psychology. I can come up with three or four good ideas and think outside the box, as it were. But a lot of problems can be addressed by just doing a best practices review. There are a lot of companies out there that are focused increasingly on conversion, including my own company, SiteTuners, and they offer reviews. So you can catch 70, 80% of the problems with your page by doing one of those, and they're very inexpensive, and they cover everything from, depending on kind of the orientation of the company conducting them, they cover everything from production quality of your page to copywriting to usability to information architecture and how you've organized and presented the information, calls to action, use of trust and credibility symbols. There's a lot that goes into conversion. It's a multifaceted thing. But the point is, you could probably fix all the glaring problems by doing one of these express reviews or something similar to it.
So that's a good thing, definitely a review. And for someone who's got an ongoing business and an ongoing site, most people kind of seem like they rebuild their site every couple of years. But how often should they really sort of have a full review, if you want, and uncover the problems with their sites?
Well, I think there's two kinds of activities. They're evolutionary and revolutionary. Revolutionary means you throw away the site you have and you start over, and it's got so many fundamental flaws that you can't put lipstick on a pig, as it were. But along the way, even if you come to the conclusion that that's the case, you can have more tactical fixes. And that's the kind of stuff that web analytics is good for. You can, for instance, say, hey, look, here's my flow through my important pages, and this one page has a really, really high bounce rate. In other words, a high percentage of people are just leaving right off of that page. Well, maybe I should look at that and see what's wrong, and maybe that'll give me some ideas for what to fix or what to test. So I might be able to make some incremental changes to parts of my site or parts of my page. And that kind of activity, looking for problems, looking for issues, listening to your customer service people, all of that should be going on continuously.
Tim, talk to us about eye tracking and what you have discovered about the way people's brains tell them to move their eyes around a website. That to me is fascinating. Some people call it heat mapping. This isn't really the same as heat mapping, I don't think. But how do people move their eyes around?
The one thing is, when you say move them around a web page, we don't even think of a web page as a web page. Our primitive brain, our visual brain, thinks of it as a scene. It's just like looking out at a window. So you can think of your computer monitor as a frame, and you're looking out into reality out there. So we know a lot about the visual system and what triggers it. We look for contrast, we look for lines in a certain vertical orientation, we look for a closure of shapes, motion flicker, and so on. We also kind of build larger objects out of this. For example, we look for skin texture or faces, and we can draw a lot of information from those. So you put all that together, and you can actually predict where people are going to look during the first few seconds of their visit to a landing page. Now, this is not a considered response. In other words, it's not what are they going to act after they read the headline and when they've absorbed your message. This is more just a where does their eye glance during the first few seconds? What draws their initial attention? And so we've actually developed software that predicts that. We have something called Attention Wizard. What you can do is just upload an image or a screenshot. It can even be a mock-up of an in-progress design that you're doing, and we'll give you back kind of an instant heat map of where we think the attention is going to go on that page.
If this isn't a after-the-fact heat map, it's not testing, it's before you launch it, or maybe it's up already, but you want to just see what the prediction is, what do you do? I mean, so the attention isn't going to what, the order button? Is that, or they're not looking at my products?
Well, yeah, to be real kind of crude about it, I mean, most web designers just try to keep themselves entertained, and they try to have fun stuff on the page and visual embellishments, and most of the time that detracts from the call to action, so it's at odds with your business goals. And so what you can do by taking a design and running it through Attention Wizard, and incidentally it's free, so you can just go set up an account and do this every day if you like, but what it allows you to do is say, is the attention going to the right stuff? Are there attention leaks on the page? I say I want them to look at the form, but they're looking at the little flashing chat lady with the, you know, her hair pulled back in a bun and the boom mic. We've all seen that in
right.
every page.
That iStock photo image that's on every website, right?
Exactly. You know, so you can at least say, it kind of do a sanity check on yourself. So there's good attention, which would be on the call to action or the hero shot or the product shot, in other words, or something like that, or the headline. And then there's bad attention, which is basically everything else. And this allows you to keep that in check and redesign your site so that when you launch, it's got, at least on that rough level, as few attention leaks as possible.
You say that people have really three different brains. Usually people think they have a right and a left brain. We've all sort of heard that by now. But what are the three?
Well, the three brains that I'm referring to are more along kind of the evolutionary lines. There's your primitive reptilian brain, which keeps your heart beating and your respiration going. And then there's kind of your emotional brain, which forms memories and process emotional information. And then on top of that, you have this kind of recent development for people, just probably the last 100,000 years of your logical brain or problem-solving brain. And they communicate with each other, and the decisions get made a lot of times, as we know, say, literally on a gut level. If you have an emotional aversion to something, you can make decisions based on that. And the logic gets overridden. So understanding how those things interact is very important, again, to influencing people.
Tim, you talk a lot about tuning the sight. What do people tune, and how do they do it? I mean, there's really a lot more to that than you might otherwise think at first. There's some math to it. There's understanding a whole bunch of things. I mean, tell us about tuning.
Well, I think that if you're interested in improving, and again, conversion efficiency, let's start with the fact that it's marketing and you're trying to influence people. So you need to understand all the basics of what makes people tick and what influences them. That means persuasive copywriting and headlines, the use of proper graphics to focus the eye on the page, good usability that makes it obvious on how to interact with your website and how to make your way through it. And then, of course, if you're going to do landing page testing, you actually need to understand statistics and then testing tools and how to make sure that you have enough data to draw the right conclusions. You have to also be a bit of a wrangler and be able to corral the IT guys and the graphic designers and the copywriters and all of those folks to help you in accomplishing all of this.
And get them all together. But how do the statistics sort of lie to the website owner? How do they not get misled by statistics? Like a certain set of analytics might make them think, oh, we've got to change this or that on the site. And that's not really always the case, right?
Well, yeah, so web analytics is a little, it can definitely be a bit deceptive. You should use web analytics to help you identify problems. In other words, the solution isn't always obvious, but you can say, okay, this part of my site is underperforming. So it helps you see where the trouble spots are, and then you can try to develop better solutions and test better alternatives to what you have in there right now. The other kind of drawback of web analytics, or looking at your current site, is you don't find out about the sins of omission. You don't find out about the things you didn't do. You have no data on the stuff you haven't done. So you can say, okay, doing this is bad, but I don't have any information about what doing it this other way is going to do. And that's why you turn to testing. That's more of a forward-looking activity. Then you can actually say, hey, well, okay, what if we did try this alternative? And then you just wait for getting enough data to draw some conclusions from that. So analytics is kind of a reactive, looking in the rearview mirror activity, and testing is a proactive activity where you're saying, what if we tried this?
Yeah, that's a good distinction. Do you recommend that people use Google Analytics or another program?
Well, we're pretty tools agnostic. I mean, certainly Google has some excellent tools, and Google Analytics has been around for a long time. It's a very solid package, and within the past year, they've actually opened it up via what's called an open API, so other people can plug it into other tools and combine it with other information. So it's very powerful, and it's growing in popularity and making inroads.
Is Google's system free, or is there a paid version? I'm not even sure what we're using here. Someone else does that for me, which is probably a bad sign.
it's free, and they have a whole ecosystem of authorized consultants around it that can help you with custom implementations or reporting that you may need. It's very powerful.
What else do people need to know? I mean, the book is large. It covers a lot of stuff, and our time is limited, but just kind of sum this whole thing up for us, if you would.
It doesn't really matter what scale you're working on, whether you're a small business or a large business. Chances are, because you've been focusing on driving traffic and not on actually fixing your site or your pages, you're leaving a lot of value on the table. And so just starting to pay attention to what's going on in your landing page and trying to have a sense of empathy with the people that are showing up, you're bound to improve the situation.
Very good points. Tim Ash is the author of Landing Page Optimization, the Definitive Guide for Testing and Tuning for Conversions. His website is sitetuners.com. Tim, thank you so much for the insights today. Appreciate it.
You bet, Jason. And if your listeners are interested, they can also attend one of our upcoming conversion conference events, which is a worldwide event series focused exclusively on improving conversions.
Fantastic. Good to know. Thanks so much, Tim Ash. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Are you ready to begin making huge profits in mobile homes and mobile home parks? If so, check out Mobile Home University's Boot Camp in a Box. You'll learn how to find and evaluate mobile homes and mobile home parks, how to drastically reduce park expenses, how to develop an effective management team, how to market and advertise to fill up your park, and much more. The Mobile Home University Boot Camp in a Box is available at special savings at jasonhartman.com.
Copyright the Hartman Media Company. For publication rights and interviews, please email media@jasonhartman.com. This show offers very general information concerning real estate for investment purposes. Opinions of guests are their own. Jason Hartman is acting as president of Platinum Properties Investor Network exclusively. Nothing contained herein should be considered personalized, personal, financial, investment, legal, or tax advice. Every investor's strategy and goals are unique. You should consult with a licensed real estate broker or agent or other licensed investment, tax, and/or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed. Please call 714-820-4200 and visit www.jasonhartman.com for additional disclaimers, disclosures, and questions.